it's a good thing. Now I understand why the kids had to leave the room before that happened. Oh, that was fabulous. What fun is that? When I had the midweek service back home, I would do a whole theme for a month, and one time I did Feeling Good. And that's a fun way to kick off a service, too. You can be pretty sassy with that one. Wow, that was fun. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the spiritual leader of this community, and I'm very happy to be here, and it's a really exciting day. We had a lot of fun last weekend because we all dressed up in Halloween stuff, and it's all over Facebook, and in fact, in our newsletter, if you get our automated newsletter, that when we ask if you want it, you need to make sure Cheryl gets, you give your email address to Cheryl. So, I don't know, Mark or Chris or somebody posted a ton of pictures from Halloween. That was great because we had the best costumes ever. We had such a fun time. And then voila, you return this week, and we are on the first Sunday in November. And during the month of Thanksgiving, we always recognize how much there is to be grateful for. And many of the centers and churches of many denominations run their stewardship campaign during this time of year. And so we traditionally do that in November, and we plan a lot of fun things, and you can see how it's manifesting already. And I wanted to tell you that the committee that stood earlier, it got together. They've been meeting for weeks already, and we did visioning together, and we ask, visioning is when you open to the highest vision, for God's highest vision for this particular campaign. And then we took all the notes that we gathered in all of those visioning sessions, and we harvested the themes. And it was really quite fun because the themes were all about carnival and colorful and fun and games and activities and this circus idea. There was a theme, a kind of a sub-theme that was about circles and center, center, center. And suddenly we realized that we were being called to carnival. We were being called to have this experience of a three-ring circus. And we're going to play with this main board here every week. When you come, we'll embellish it a little bit more. And the title of the message today is The Big Prize. So you did get a prize when you arrived, and Dorothy, I assure you, it'll be a better, even better prize next week. And in fact, we have prizes for you each week, and on the fourth week, I'm so excited because someone has gifted us with this woman who is very well known on the east side. I think her name's Vernice. I can't remember her name. Somebody give me the people. Yeah, and she will be doing a singing bowl workshop after the service is over, and that's kind of our great grand finale of enjoying all the fun and the color and the beauty that we've envisioned for us to have this month. So stewardship means that we are attempting to be, we are inviting all of us to play at a high level of participation in being good stewards for that which has been given us. And in this case, we're specifically looking at our spiritual community. That our founders, last year we had our 40th anniversary celebration, and that was also a great big fun time. And we talk about all the people that came before that put this into motion, and now it's our opportunity to make sure that we secure the future for our center. And so stewardship is the one month of the year where we focus on the business side of keeping the doors open for running, doing church on Sundays, and for having a spiritual center in the community. And it's the only time of year we talk about money in a very practical way. And yet, The idea of prosperity is indeed one of our spiritual principles that our teaching is based upon. Mark mentioned it as the law of circulation. And we talk about it every Sunday. We just don't talk about it in terms of dollars and cents or balancing your checkbook or how much you give. The law of circulation is the way life is always flowing and moving, and there has to be this perfect pattern or those planets up there, out there in space would be bumping into things, you know? And the cells in our body have a pattern of perfection that is the orbit of vitality and vibrancy. And in fact, we know that when in any way, in nature or in our own physical bodies, when something gets clogged in that natural flow or movement, things get stagnant or constricted, and it creates not good conditions. So we especially know that if we talk about our circulatory system in our body, right? We want everything to be pumping and moving and flowing, and that's just one of a myriad of examples of how this entire universe is running on that great flow, that great law of circulation. So we will be tending to business this month, and a key part of participation, as Mark introduced, is that this is the time of year we look at committed giving. So you are not obligated. We don't obligate our members to fill out a card and to turn it in, but we invite you to do that. If you know you're going to be a part of this community in the upcoming year, and find that it is your great joy to give us that financial support, then we ask that you pray on that stewardship card. They're probably in the seat backs also in front of you. Is that right? Are they out there yet, Cheryl? Okay, so they will be placed there probably this coming week. And for those of you who are on our mailing list, we've already mailed them. You've probably received it. If not, there's a big stack of them out in the foyer in the bookstore area. And we have a big gold box that you can fill it out and you can drop it in. And we use that because we are, as was also mentioned already, getting ready to finalize our budget. And so in order for us to be responsible, to be good stewards of our community, one of the things we have to look at is having a real working budget. And that's very important to our board of trustees and to myself, of course. So that's what all the hoopla is about, but we want to have fun in doing it, and I'm very conscientious about how we move through this entire month so that it becomes a way we see that we are stewards, not just financially, but in terms of consciousness, in the way we show up and our willingness to participate as a member of a community. So whether or not you are actually a member that has filled out a membership form, or you are like the Bradfords who come here because we have an arrangement that we have a service, we exchange goods for goods, and whatever way you find yourself in relationship to us, you're invited to play, and play at that level that makes you feel good. One of our great teachers in our movement says something that I always think about, and that is when you're giving, give from a place of joy. So we share our gifts and our talents and our service, and we give financially because we have financial bills that need to be paid. And you should always do that from a level of joy, not fear. It's not about looking to, it's almost backwards from everything I learned in my own life until I started understanding abundance side of spirituality. And then what happens is, money is a good example because we attach so much energy to money, but then what we realize is we begin to understand the law of circulation and mental equivalence in a much broader way. So that's what I wanted to say to introduce you to the to the program, that it is specifically about committed giving, and it is a way in which we come together all month to join in a consciousness of abundance, to expand what's possible for ourselves, not just in terms of dollar signs, but in everything, in our programs, in the beauty and the care and the keeping of our building, and in the classes we offer, in everything. And so each week we'll be looking at a different goal, because we've set some goals and have some lofty ideas that could really serve us beautifully in the upcoming year. So I read in one of my leadership books while I was thinking about the talk this week that it's a minister's job to edify you, to deliver you to your proper inheritance. And I think that's such a good way of saying it. I like that idea that to edify is to build, to strengthen. So so it's my job to strengthen you for your in readiness for your proper inheritance, which is not some reward you will earn if you die at the appropriate time and after enough good deeds and you haven't upset God too much. You know, it's not like any of that. It's that we really have inherited this beautiful perfection, and it's ours to learn. And so we teach here about transformational tools that we can all use. And here's an interesting side point. Many of you know, if you come each week, that we have been following all year these monthly themes that have been set out by Centers for Spiritual Living, our home office. And they've had these themes that fit with the idea of embodying a greater understanding of values-based spirituality. And so every week, every month, we have been given a new value to focus on, and because November tends to be stewardship month, the values that we're looking at, so all the CSL centers that are playing in this all around the world are looking at financial health and prosperity, and they also give us affirmations, and some months I have shared those with you, and some months I have not, because they haven't resonated with the direction I wanted to take the material, but this week's is so beautiful. It says, we express order and balance in our financial well-being as a means to provide resources to empower our personal and our collective vision. So each and every one of us has our own personal vision. You know, we have our own goals and ideas and desires for how we would like to express and demonstrate spiritual truths in our day-to-day living. But we also have a collective vision that we share with all of Centers for Spiritual Living share. And so the parent organization has chosen as our vision or our purpose to, my goodness, it's right here. I know it's right here. To call people to their magnificence so that we can help to create a global consciousness for a world that works for everyone. So that you hear me say a lot. I talk a lot about a world that works for everyone. And what we know is that if we do our personal work, we are contributing in a very important way to a better world. You know, like Dr. Ruth Wilkerson used to always say, it's like one less grumpy person is one less grumpy person. And I think that's good news for everybody. And then our personal vision here, we all know because we say it so often before the service, at the beginning of the service, and that is that we are a loving and vibrant community? Joy-filled, loving community, honoring the many paths to God as we learn and live science of mind principles, right? So, wow, we put that together with this bigger calling all individuals to experience their own spiritual magnificence to make a better world. Wow, we're doing something really big. So we've got this great carnival, this great circus, these beautiful, colorful three rings, and we're looking at, the way I thought about it when I put the talk together this week was that this is wisdom from under the big top. Feels to me like we're just all in this big top and we're looking for that wisdom, and we're going to do that through this playful idea of games and fun and prizes and balloons and all this goodness, all this yummy goodness. And as I was thinking about how profound it was that all the people that were doing the visioning on the committee, that we had this unified vision of something really big and something really fun, I began to think about that classic metaphysician, Florence Scovel Shinn. How many of you are familiar with Florence Scovel Shinn? She's been around a long, well, she's not around anymore. Well, she is, but she's not. Well, moving on. I think she passed in about 1940, and she was born a little bit before Ernest Holmes, so you could say she's a contemporary of Holmes, and she's a beloved metaphysician. She was also an artist, but she wrote this book called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And so I kept thinking about the title of that book, and I knew I had it in my library, so I found the book, and I opened it up, and I wanted to read to you the very first line in that book. She says, "Most people consider life a battle, but it is not a battle. It is a game. And to play the game of life successfully, we must train our imaging faculty." Our imaging faculty. In other words, that part of us that is our imagination, that part of us where we can start to imagine greater and greater good unfolding in our daily experience of living. And then right after she said that, she quotes a scripture from Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. And that's the scripture that says, I don't know why everything's hiding from me this day, but above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. And so that passage has a ring of familiarity to me and probably to many of you because it's a favorite, beloved scripture. And when I play in scripture, you know what I do. If you've been here before, you know I love to cross-reference and see what other translations, how other translations word different passages. So a more traditional King James Version would say, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." This would be a little, it's always a little drier for me from the King James because that was not the first version of the Bible I fell in love with. And then I love, love, love Eugene Peterson, who created this paraphrased Bible called The Message. Gene Peterson said, "Keep vigilant watch over your heart because that's where life starts." And I was thinking how beautifully that ties in with what we teach. We teach here in this philosophy, in the science of mind, that as we can feel the emotion of that which we desire, that's the quickening. That's like the magnetic attraction that pulls things into form, that makes us more aware. But it's in that moment of imagining it as so real that it's just done. And then what happens if we can feel it as that real is that we open ourselves to accept it. And that's the only real tricky part is how much good can you receive? You know, are you ready to receive? We say often when we're teaching spiritual mind treatment. But my favorite translation for this particular passage in Proverbs came from the New Century Bible, which is always intriguing to me. It's quite different. And this one tied so well with the science of mind. It said, "Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life." If Right? And we really say that a lot. We say, change your thinking. You change your life if you can change your thinking. We say, we take this beautiful scripture from Romans, you know, be transformed by renewing your mind. Have some new thoughts. It's why we call this movement New Thought, so that we can get rid of the old, expunge the old, as Mark said. By the way, that was that Mark that read that one? Yeah. That's a part of the quote I'm going to use in a minute. So I love it when we're that in sync, because there are a lot of possible quotes in that first chapter there. So all of these different variations of how to talk about being vigilant and keep watch over your heart, guard your heart, all of this is saying, watch your heart, watch how you feel, watch what you think, and notice that how what you think makes you feel a certain way. It's to play with your imagination actively and intentionally so that you're not imagining the worst thing that could happen, and that you instead get rid of those negative thoughts and replace them with other thoughts that make you feel the joy that is naturally the desire of our hearts that we are created to desire. So it's about watching our thoughts and watching our words and our deeds, our actions, because they reveal what you believe. Right? You can talk some quick talk, but eventually you will rat yourself out. If you have beliefs in there you don't want, they will show up in the way that we connect with each other. It will slip out. And our thoughts are revealing to us all the time. And the whole point of the spiritual, having a practical spirituality, is that we learn to pay attention to what it is that we're thinking. So we say in this teaching that the conditions in our lives reflect what we believe because there is a law called the law of mental equivalence. And that's I love that way Mark was talking about. It's just you look in the mirror and you see the reflection back. There's an exact equivalent. So your prize today, as you came in the door with our, is it Plinko or Plunko or Plinko? Plinko, right, right. I mean, it's Drew Carey does it now. Used to be Bob Barker. Used to be Bob Barker, and we were fortunate enough to borrow somebody's official carnival Plinko game. And the prize that everybody won today, if you didn't get your prize for any reason, please be sure you pick it up before you leave. And it's the little Emmett Fox booklet called Mental Equivalence. And it is our gift to you. We always have a book study. In the month of November, we try and get everybody unified and thinking the same, working on the same stuff and reading and studying the same material so that it impacts our community in that way, you know, that passage that says where two or more are gathered, it amplifies the good of that when we do anything as a group. And so we will be studying that little booklet. It has four chapters in it, and we will study one chapter every Monday. And we have two groups. We have a 10:30 a.m. group that starts tomorrow morning at 10:30. And then we have another group if morning isn't good for you and you'd prefer the evening. We have a group at 6 o'clock in the evening. And Judy Baker, our practitioner Judy Baker, will be doing the morning group. And Reverend Cheryl Hawkins will be leading the evening group. So for the next four Mondays, I will be talking and quoting from the material that you will then study in the book study group the very next day. So you're invited to play in that arena and have some fun with us. So I looked for my favorite quote in that first chapter in that little booklet. And by the way, that little booklet was kind of an accident. I found it in a book, and I called Dora, or I left a message or emailed you, I can't remember, Dora, and I said, give me this Emmett Fox book. This looks really good. I think we're going to use it for stewardship and order, you know, 60 of them. And so she called me up, or I bumped into her here, and she went, wow, that you just, you. She actually called me a cheapskate. How do you say that? Cheapskate? She said, that's only a $2 thing. And I went, oh, no, that's not the one I saw. So we got all these booklets, and we realized this was a great idea to gift you with them. So if the print is too small, you can get it on your Kindle, or you can you have time to order it, for, not maybe not for tomorrow, but for the following week, and you can get it in a book form. Just check out Amazon. But we have plenty for everybody, and we will also have them at the book studies tomorrow. So if you didn't get one, or you want to bring somebody with you that wasn't here today, they will be available still. So my favorite quote from the little Emmett Fox booklet says this: "The secret of successful living is to build up the mental equivalent that you want, and to get rid of, expunge, the mental equivalent that you don't want." And then it probably follows right after that with a quote that Mark used, which was fabulous. So the secret is to build the mental equivalent that you want. What does that imply when you hear that? The secret is to build the mental equivalent in your own mind. We're going to create an image of what we do desire to experience. And when I look at it like that, I'm going back to that word edify, how handy that was that I found that quote first before this quote. I think that to build implies that there is action, consistent action, ongoing, that over time creates something. And when I thought about it like that, I was thinking about watching someone lay a brick wall or a block wall. Have you ever had the privilege of watching a masonry do his work or her work? It's an intriguing process. When I was growing up, the neighbor right across, my dad was the plasterer in the neighborhood, and Sam Basso lived across the street, and he was the mason. And so anytime you put in a fireplace or you put up a block wall around your property, Sam would be the guy, and then everybody, the neighbors would all help. And it was so fun because he at one point walled in our entire backyard. And I remember watching him that he would, first of all, he could pick up the block like it was nothing, you know. So he'd pick up the block and he'd put it like this, and then he'd take a scoop of mud and put it on there, and then he'd put the block down and then he would tap it. He'd take the other end of this scooping tool and he would tap it in and he would tap it in. He'd get a little level out to make sure it was exactly perfect. And the wall came together to be this perfect, precise, gorgeous, functional wall that we needed at that time in our life. And that's what I think of when I think of building something up. It has to do with consistency, with precision, with intention, with knowing that you can only do it one piece at a time, but that you're building something. You're creating something that can only be done one piece at a time. And I also think, wouldn't it be wonderful to build a house, to build your own house with your own tools? And wouldn't it be even more exciting if you had the resources on your property? You know, I like to watch those Alaska shows and see what kinds of amazing things they do where they're living off the land. I think that's incredible. To watch something come into form like that is very satisfying. Well, as I thought about those ideas for building up, we build a block at a time, the mental equivalent in our own mind. I then thought about the great cathedrals that were built in the 12th century and so on in Europe. And that how, you know, some of those great castles or cathedrals took literally hundreds of years to build them. And so my first thought was like, wow, that means that whoever had the vision, whoever caught God's vision of what that could be like, or that group of people, much like putting a committee together here to capture God's vision for how we could have fun this month, the people that had the vision for the cathedral would not even intend to see it completed. because it was going to take hundreds of years and resources beyond the imagination. Imagine the cost of a project like that and how many people it calls in to participate. And so not only do they not see it, but think of all the people in the middle few hundred years that are just workers on this forever project. You know, it's been going on their entire life and their children's entire life and their children. How many generations of families worked on the constructions of those massive things and without even, so here you are in the middle, you're not part of the vision and you're not going to be part of the end, you're just showing up and you're holding that space to create a cathedral. And there's a great spiritual story of a very lowly, humble man who he didn't have any skills in terms of helping to build, but he was the guy that cleaned up after everybody at the end of the day. And that he was there one day pushing the broom. Everybody else had left, and he's pushing the broom, and somebody happens to pass by and says to him, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm building a cathedral." See, that's ownership. That's where you realize that no matter what you're doing, no matter how you're getting your hands involved or your minds or your the gifts you bring in any way, that you are doing something magnificent. And that's what stewardship is all about. You know, think about, we did this a lot last year because it was so touching to, we had dug out all the old records and we looked at old photographs of where they met before they had this building and who were the people that had the idea that there should be a community in the West Valley. And so when I think about just a small group of people meeting together in somebody's home as a study group, and growing and holding that space of possibility that one day there could be a real church that they could go to and they could meet in, that they could maybe even buy property, which eventually they did. What a gorgeous gift that is for those of us who came later. And we're certainly not the end, you know? We're certainly not the end. We're probably, you know, we're probably still at the beginning. I think that the message that is shared here and the different style of worship that is includes ritual but is not married to doctrine of any sort. I think that gives us something special to offer the people that will continue to move west in the west side of the Phoenix Valley. And I actually could see that one day there will be another center much more west than us, and we will be a part of central Phoenix instead of being called the West. So from a study group, they earn a charter. From a storefront place, they move, they buy this building, they renovate the building. There was a pool in the social hall that they filled in and made it into an actual room that we use and that we love, and many wonderful things happen in there. And so there is a way that we have always consciously been building community. So it's about the building, but it's more than the building. It's more than the grounds or the property. It's even more than the programs, because it's us. It's the people. It's the community. It's the way we all come together. So as we stay focused on our purpose, and as we sort of recommit ourselves to this long-term effort of making sure we have a Science of Mind community in the West Valley, sometimes we ask, so how? How do you create that mental equivalent, which was what we'll look at in the book? But Emmett Fox had an answer to that. He said the way we create the mental equivalent in our mind is by thinking with clearness, with definiteness, and by thinking with interest. And see, I think that word interest, that brings us back to heart. That brings us back to caring. That brings us back to asking ourselves, why are we here? You know, what is this? And why has Spirit called us to be a community at this time? And I have a lot of responses that, and a lot of things that I believe about all of that. But what I want us to do this month is just to get really clear in all of it, to have that clarity, to have that very clear definition, just the way Sam Basso was precise in the way he'd put every block of the wall together as he was building a block wall. And the interest then, thinking with interest, using your mind interestingly might be a better way to look at that. And that's where we're getting our heart and our soul involved because we are interested in our future. So the family meeting, which happens on November 19th, is a very big event that I plan every year on the weekend before Thanksgiving because many people travel on Thanksgiving weekend. So we do that the weekend before Thanksgiving with the intent that it is for all of us. So it is different than the annual meeting that is a business meeting where that's all we do is business. This is a meeting where I want anyone and everyone who considers themselves a part of this community or is curious about the future of this community, I want you to come and play with us. And what I do is I create that particular day as an opportunity for you to give your feedback. This is where we want to know what are your ideas for our future. We're creating a container here where you can participate. So I want to see what your collective desires for us as a community are. And what I've done is I had this, Sue Witter and I put together this whole idea that we're excited about. She's speaking in Lake Havasu this Sunday. But we're going to create a wall, a block at a time, in Papke Hall, and you'll see a few of us started it already before the service, and we have a whole bunch of these are sticky pads, and so our blocks are square, and we're going to build a wall on the west wall of Papke Hall from the window to the corner, and I thought we would start today before we put anything like what our desires are. I'd like us to build a strong foundation of gratitude, because that's what stewardship is about. That's what Thanksgiving this month is about. It's about being grateful. And what we know in spiritual study, that gratitude is a practice, an actual spiritual practice that enhances our life. Some of our ministers say that gratitude is the anointing of increase. And that whenever we're going through a difficult time, that we should just stop and give thanks for something. No matter what's going on in your life, stop and find at least one thing to be grateful for in that moment. And one thing leads to two, and two lead to five, and it just keeps growing. And those thoughts are the very fiber of what shifts and stretches the container that we are in our ability to receive good. So today, I would love for you to not leave until you make your way in there and write down on one of these, there's several different colors, just write, I have markers in there, write down what you are grateful for pertaining to our community, pertaining to any of the physical stuff. What are we thankful for? Because we can't really move forward until we have anchored ourselves in the truth of how amazing it is that we have all of this, and then beginning next week, we'll start to grow and expand on what is it that we desire for our future. So fill out at least one of these, and if you have several things that you're grateful for, I wrote two or three, and then we're going to put them on the wall, Bo, I think, has the Bradford's son, Bo, is I think it's Bo. I can never remember. Even when they're not here, I can't tell them apart. Bo or Hank, I think it's Bo, is going to help because the sticky doesn't seem to like the wall as much as we were hoping, and so we have a little extra tape, and we'll make sure we build a wall one way or another. We'll have those up there, and we're going to make it go taller and taller each week. So today, just gratitude. You're just going to put things on the wall that you're thankful for. So let's have fun this month. It's an extraordinary opportunity. Ernest Holmes said, the knowledge that God wants us to live fully, the certainty that there's no force to keep our good from us, the assurance that abundance is ours for the asking will avail us nothing unless we use that knowledge. And so that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to really get anchored in this great truth. My job is to edify you, to deliver you to your proper inheritance, to get you that big prize, to make sure you are clear about the truth of your life and that the truth sets you free. And so as we look at this idea of edification, teaching, training, strengthening, building up, transforming something into something more, I think we're going to see things change here. But what really interested me as I got ready to close out my work on the message this week, I looked up the definition of an edifice. Because you think of an edifice as a building. But the other definition for edifice is any complex system of beliefs. And I thought, how beautiful is that? What other church could you attend or spiritual center where you are encouraged to seek your own beliefs, to deepen in your own relationship with God in such a way that nobody's going to tell you what your God has to look like, that you are going to have your own spiritual beliefs, and that together then we create this complex system of beliefs that represent the community that we are. So please, this month, bring yourself here, bring your ideas, join us in this network of collaboration where we are looking to join together in the beauty and the connection that we are as an ecosystem of belief that is a collection of systems, and we're going to be just be building something great, because when we do that, great things show up as the mental equivalent. And so for me, I simply know I am grateful. I am grateful for all of this for you and for this fun month we're going to have. So let's take a moment to shift gears, and I'd like to anchor this kickoff service for our stewardship campaign in prayer right now. And so, by the way, please, practitioners, come forward. Step forward and help us do that. Oh, so we just changed gears. Resting comfortably in the details of something new being created. And we just feel the joy that comes with the rings and the circus and the big top and the carnival and the prizes and the color and the beauty of all of this. And as we feel that beauty and joy inside of us, something in the physical being shifts. There's movement. It is the activity of God, the indwelling presence. And as we become aware of it, we become that channel for the expression of good, for the experience of beauty. And we amplify our ability to connect with each other and with life. And so I know that right here there is that full presence of God. It is here as a presence and a power of good. and is here as that infinite wisdom, that which has created all of life in all expressions. It is diverse, it is humble, it is powerful, it is all things at all times. And there is no place where it is not. There is no way where that movement of life can be limited or restricted, because the very law of circulation insists on that movement, on that radiant light, on the wisdom in the cells of our body to heal things that look less than whole. And so on this day where we are focused on building the consciousness, on creating ourselves to be a container, on having deep appreciation for all that has been given us, we stand in this truth that there is this profound mental equivalent that is always reflecting in our lives. And so we get rid of any of the negative thinking or the worrisome thoughts or the concerns, because whatever it is that we are concerned over, we realize that right there, wherever that might be, whether it is in the life of a loved one or is at the heart of our government or in a country that is going through difficulties, we simply know that the love and the wisdom and the fullness of God is right there. And so we open ourselves to recognize the movement of these blessings, the generosity of Spirit itself, bestowing the gift of grace into our lives. And we determine our minds this day. We set this holy, holy intention to recognize God wherever we are, to give thanks for the good that is always in front of us, and to be open to the guidance, to be willing to stretch to higher perspectives and greater experiences of love. And so for all of this and for so much more, I am grateful. I am so grateful. I say thank you, God. And from that deep place of gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into that divine law, knowing that indeed it is already done. And together we say, and so it is.